Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 30-17 loss to the Patriots, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, before we talk about the actual game, I just wanted to talk about the atmosphere at Levi's Stadium on Sunday with the rain and everything. That's one part of it. But, I mean, really, in some respects, it was pretty disgraceful that you've got the Patriots getting cheered so much. Their quarterback, Tom Brady, you know, cheered loudly before the game. The 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, booed loudly before the game when he took the field. You know, I was there in attendance, so working on the game for CBS, so I witnessed this, and I know it was Brady's first game against the 49ers in the Bay Area, but I mean, this is the enemy that comes into your building. I think as a 49ers fan, or you know, if you're Jed York, he has to be furious about what's going on right now. What did some of the former players think? You were there with them, you know, it was alumni weekend. Yeah. What was the attitude about that?
There were a few guys that had said, you know, this is disheartening, basically, to hear. And it, you know, kind of threw me back to the Cowboy game was like that as well.
Yeah.
Where there were a lot of Cowboy fans in the stands. There were, you know, a lot of white Cowboy jerseys. I guess the good part of the rain yesterday was that we couldn't see all the jerseys.
Yeah. right.
But you for sure could hear the Patriot fans. And it actually, my thought was actually there were more Patriot fans maybe than there were Cowboy fans that day. There were the cheers were quite loud for the Patriots.
And this isn't the only place that this happens, because the Patriots travel well. I mean, the Steelers do too. There are other stadiums I've been in like that. But I just didn't expect that at a 49ers game. I know the team's 1-9 now, but that's rough.
It really is. It's hard. It's frustrating. It's hard to watch at times. It was fun to see Brady. I wish I was down a little lower watching the game, but I would have been soaked for sure. I got soaked as it was at halftime.
Right. That was tough for Eddie DeBartolo to come out there, man, for the ring ceremony. And then it was pouring rain.
It was the hardest rain of the whole day.
Right.
And it really, excuse me, I was down there, and it was pouring. It was coming down pretty hard. But, that was unfortunate, but I thought his opening comment about that he was supposed to bring thunder and lightning to the franchise, like, you know, why not a little bit of rain now, too? I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, well, you go back to when he was the owner, and it started out rough. They had a 9-game losing streak like they have now, and then things turned around.
Mm-hmm. And I think I commented with you maybe a week or so ago about that when I played for the Steelers in '88, and I actually meant to look it up. I meant to look up our schedule to see if I was completely accurate, but I remember winning first game of the season, then we lost 10 in a row, and then we won the last 5 and ended up 6-10, which was unusual one. I think I had mentioned that. I think we, as a team, as the Steelers then, I think we were going a different direction than, unfortunately, than the Niners are going maybe right now, where we had a lot of young players who became really good players.
What?
They were just learning how to win in the NFL at that point.
I mean, it seems to me, Steve, that this team is playing really hard, even though it's losing. They're playing hard. They don't have the talent.
No, they just – I completely agree. They just don't have the talent. They played I thought they played pretty well again defensively yesterday. I mean, yeah, it probably could have been – unfortunately, it probably could have been worse. But, you know, Brady missed some throws that he probably doesn't miss in the, if it's not raining.
Right.
Missed a few big plays, guys open. He still had a good day, but it would have been a heck of a day. And then offensively, again, it seemed like the first half was pretty good. And then, the second half couldn't get the running game going again, and Cap was missing some throws in the second half.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Kaepernick first half was a completely different guy. It was like he went into a phone booth and went the opposite way from Superman to Clark Kent. I mean,
right.
he was 10 of 12 in the first half, and they didn't convert into a touchdown there late in the first quarter when they really should have. They had a first and goal, but he was really good in the first half, and then all of a sudden, he had that stretch where he had 9 straight incompletions, and I don't know if it was the ball being wet, his receivers not being in sync with him, but he just got into a bad mode there. You sometimes see that when you go golfing or a pitcher just kind of loses it all of a sudden. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, and believe me, it can happen. You all of a sudden start to think about it, or you think about. Okay, I got to hit this one, or I got to, I need to do this, or I need to do that, and then, all of a sudden you get in your own head, and you're like, just like that. The next thing you know, you've missed 9 in a row. You're like, what the heck is going on here? and at that point, you just try and go back to your fundamentals and find your rhythm, your throwing rhythm back in your feet again, and things like that. But yeah, there were a few in there where he just launched them, way over people's heads. But believe me, it can happen, and it's not fun.
Well, it's too bad you can't bottle up. There was a drive in the second quarter, middle of the second quarter, where they went 92 yards. And that's the way you want to see this team play all the time. I mean, Hyde was running well. He had a nice catch and run. Kaepernick had a run on a broken play. Vance McDonald crossing over the middle, and then he had the touchdown. I mean, that looked like a team that would be tough to beat if you could do that all the time.
Right, and that was a nice throw and catch on the touchdown, too. Catch, gets hit, drags guy in the end, kind of thing, drags him in the end zone. So, I mean, that's good stuff.
And the same thing with the defense. At times, good. I mean, they gave up that big run to LeGarrette Blount in the first quarter late. I mean, he just had a huge hole.
Yeah.
44 yards. We've seen that the entire season,
Yeah. But then seemed to keep him in control after that. I mean, he ended up with maybe
124, but he tacked on some at the end there.
Okay.
Time.
That's right, at the end.
So that makes 8 of the last 9 games that the Niners have given up a 100-plus rusher. So, it's a bad trend. It's just there's too much room. But you're right. I mean, for the most part, I think people were looking at – the way the 49ers are playing defense, and it wasn't bad. They're in the game. It's 13-10 at the end of three quarters. That's not bad.
And I thought that the corners, you know, the cover guys, corners and slot receiver, you know, slot defenders, I thought for the most part they played pretty good. Obviously, you have to take into consideration who they were playing against, and Brady, he's going to make you look bad. But there were a few plays that I remember, you know, not specifically, but just remember thinking, oh man, that's a nice play by that DB, you know, good coverage, making the, you know, knocking the ball down at the end. So I thought that, you know, for the most part, they played pretty well also.
But I think Tom Brady showed why he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. There were so many times where he escaped the pass rush. He's not a fast guy, but his footwork is amazing. You know, you watch that, and then you see he's almost going to get hit, or his arm is going to get hit, or the ball. How many times? 3 or 4 times where it looked like he's not even going to throw this ball. It's going to get hit by a defensive lineman, and then he makes a play.
Yeah, that one at the, I think it was the beginning of the fourth quarter, where he's falling down. He moves to his left, steps up, moves around to his left, and then starts to move out of the pocket and is going to, you know, resets his feet to throw the ball, and then is tumbling backwards to his left and throws the touchdown. It's a heck of a throw.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of reminded me of like a Roethlisberger move. I don't expect that as much from Brady, but I'm amazed. I mean, here's a guy who's 40 years old, you know, and he's still able to move around like that laterally.
Yeah. He has a great feel for the pocket, that's for sure. And, you know, when he needs to get rid of it and finding guys that are open. There was another one, might have been in the third. I just remember he was getting, you know, you could tell he was getting late in his timing in the pocket, and he hit like a third receiver. It was a tight end or a slot receiver into the middle.
I think that was the Malcolm Mitchell one, right?
Might have been for a first down. It was a big first down. And he just a great sense in the pocket and getting through his progression and, you know, finds that open guy.
Yeah, well, Mitchell was the one. That was a 56-yarder. It was 3rd and 8. They were still Niners were still in the game, and 56 yards touchdown. And Ahmad Brooks almost slapped that ball out of his throwing arm.
Yeah, that was at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one I'm thinking, I think was the third quarter.
And the thing about it is, you don't have Gronkowski, you don't have Hogan, who was one of their receivers that they really like to throw to. You don't have those guys. He's not throwing to tight ends, which usually is the case. I mean, Bennett didn't have a catch for most of the game. You know, then near the end there, I think he got one, but he didn't have one in the first half. I remember that. So you've got Brady without his full complement of receivers, and he's still. You know, especially Edelman had a great game. He had eight catches.
Well,
they could find him.
That's the sign of a great quarterback. You know, making all those guys look good.
Yeah.
You know, just like taking guys off the street and, you know, make them receiver and all of a sudden they have, you know, six catches in a game.
I'm still amazed though by Edelman. This guy was a quarterback in college, and he's another Bay Area product, you know, College of San Mateo and all that.
Yeah.
And from Redwood City. I just, some of the moves he makes, it looks like he's been a receiver since he was a little kid.
I know, but just great body control. I'm gonna guess that he probably didn't play outfield just because of his stature, but if he did, he'd be really good just because of his body control and his, you know, his sense of where the ball is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was a little shallow cross. Again, it was, I think, third down. It was third quarter. And Brady kind of dinks one over the top of the defensive lineman, linebacker, drops it right on top of Edelman. Maybe a smidge behind him, but, man, what a, you know, a body adjustment and catch and turns the ball up the field for a first down.
Yeah, I mean, as a quarterback, you have to appreciate that ability. And just, I mean, watching him on that touchdown, the way he made Reeser bite on the inside move, I mean, that's a fundamental thing that, you know, I mean, I know that's a talent, but also just running the route perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly is the key word. Yeah, got him to bite, and next thing you know, the ball's in the air, and Edelman's open.
Yeah. On the 49ers side of it, Carlos Hyde, I thought, had a pretty good game. He had 86 yards rushing, and he had a 110 total yards. I mean, he's just playing like a man possessed. He is really playing hard.
Hard, yeah, yes, yeah. Maybe that's who I was thinking had the 80. I knew somebody had 80.
Yeah, there you go, Carlos,
It was Carlos, yeah. But it seemed to be, unfortunately, most of it seemed to have been in the first half.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I can't really. I mean, yeah, he was, there were a few times where he got 4 or 5 yards and, you know, at a clip in the second half, but I don't remember. I don't remember any kind of 10 plus runs. I don't think in the second half.
No, but it's nice to get him involved receiving too.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't think they throw to him enough. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, even Vance McDonald, tight end, running back. Got to throw those guys more, it seems.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and Carlos looks good. I mean, I know he's not 100% healthy, but he's running like he's pretty darn healthy.
Yeah. Steve, when you came out of a game and your number one receiver didn't have a catch, and I'm talking about Jeremy Curley, didn't that make you shake your head? I mean, they did target him. They tried to throw to him, but they never connected.
Yeah, and again, there's a couple times where I know we've talked about this before, where, you know, he just gets manhandled.
Yeah.
You know, there's one specific one. I think it was fourth quarter cap targets on a, like a corner route from in the slot. And he goes to, you know, he goes to reach for the ball, but he just kind of, I didn't think it was a pass interference, but he just kind of gets outbodied by the defender also going for the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a bigger person.
Right. And he's just not big enough.
No. And as we said, I know we both think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
But just those instances where he's just not a big body and gets controlled.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I wanted to also ask you about best play, worst play, because for me, the best play, although it was dangerous, was that pass to Chris Harper where Kaepernick was scrambling and he threw it up there, and Harper made an incredible catch.
Yeah, I actually missed that, but I heard Ted and Tim Ryan describing it, and it sounded unbelievable. It sounded, in my mind, I was envisioning that one he threw a couple years ago all the way back across the field to Frank Gore.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was envisioning.
Crazy pass.
Yeah. So, worst play.
Well, worst play, I'm going to tell you mine. You can tell me what you think, but that there was an option. It looked like a college option, and Kaepernick just got drilled, and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
For me, that was the worst play. That was in the second half.
Yeah. the one that's jumping out at me, I kind of referred to was just a pass. It was in the it was in the third quarter. He had a receiver running open. Kind of his right might again been at like an inside corner route, and he just launched it, and it looked like it was 20 feet over his head from the angle that I was at.
Yeah, I think I remember Cap having a reaction like, oh, I just blew that
blew
one.
That
I missed
one.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Design play. Nothing's really jumping out at me. I know we talked about a couple of them from last week. Nothing's jumping out at me.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, they missed having Torrey Smith in there. There's no doubt about that. I mean, even though he doesn't get many catches, but at least the threat of him could have helped.
They have to cover him. Yeah.
Here's something else I want to ask you about. Trent Green on the broadcast was talking about how the defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill and Chip Kelly, they're changing the defensive culture, getting players to buy in, getting better. Now, I don't know if I agree. I mean, if you look at stats – they give up over 400 yards for the fifth straight game. They tie a franchise record with that. 444 total yards for New England. And I know it's Brady, But I don't know that this defense is getting better. Are they? I mean, I know they're playing hard, but are they getting better? What do you think?
I'd like to think that they're getting a little better, but I don't know if I would categorize it as, you know, they're getting significantly better. Like you said, again, 444 yards and offense. Yes, it is Brady, but I mean, if you're going to win games in this league, you still need to stop people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were, again, I think New England was like 7 for 14 on third down, or 7 for 11. It was, you know, at least
they
50%.
Were, I've got it right here, 8 for 16. And they're always down
okay,
on third
8
down.
For 16.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were 50%, which
yeah.
I've said you have to be. I'd like to think that they were getting a little better. I thought that there were a number of nice plays by the DBs yesterday. I thought linebackers, defensive line seems to be playing better as far as, you know, playing their gap responsibility at least. You know, guys, linebackers aren't getting stood up or getting knocked out of holes, or you know, which it seemed like was happening a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Ballor is playing a little bit better. I mean, they're
yeah.
learning, so that
yeah,
maybe,
they're
maybe
learning.
There's
I guess
some
that's,
progress.
That's more. There's some progress. Yeah, they're learning.
So maybe it's just not on paper. You know, you don't see it in the stat sheet, but it, you know, on the field, you can see it a little bit.
Because again, I mean, looking at the team stats. They were 5 for 15 or 5 for 14 on third down. You know, five sacks for minus 30. And there was 10 penalties.
That was the other thing I was going to ask you about, just the
10
discipline.
Penalties for 60 some yards.
Yeah, and I understand a pass interference or even a false start sometimes, but some of these penalties are just awful. They had a sideline penalty for 15 yards,
yeah.
lining up in the neutral zone. That never should happen. I mean, just stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, those are the three things that jumped out at me when I looked at the stats last night. And my thought was, okay, there's 100 yards, you know, just between the sacks and the penalties, basically, that, you know, it's going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because offensively they had 299.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, not great, but, you know, my thought was, okay, take those 100 yards and make them positive. There's now you're at 400. Now you've had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Now you've had a darn good
penalties.
Game.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 10 penalties that. I mean, that's excessive.
They need to clean that up. There's no doubt. So now they go to Miami, play a team that's won 5 games in a row. They've got one of the best running backs in the league in Jay Ajayi. I've seen him play a couple times, and, man, he's tough. You talk about running hard. That guy runs hard, and people didn't even know who he was, and then he kind of comes out of nowhere, and he rushes for 200 yards in consecutive games. You know, just unbelievable season for this guy, so it's going to be tough to stop him.
And to have to go, you know, on the road, 3 time zones. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit easier to play a 1 o'clock game in Miami than it is to play a, you know, 12 o'clock game at Lambeau Field.
Right. Well, they'll get their share when they go to Chicago the next week. It'll be freezing.
I know. Okay, so there to that point that, you know, that noontime central game, cold out. You know, it'll be a whole lot easier to, you know, be up and play a 1 o'clock game in Miami.
By the way, I'm trying to remember, didn't you play in, weren't you on the 49ers when you played one of those really cold games in Chicago?
I actually was not. I came the next year.
Oh, okay. That was
a couple
playoff
years
game.
That playoff game where it was, you know, minus 60 or whatever it was, some crazy number.
Yeah. It was talked about
a lot.
That was
80, 80, 88. Yeah, I guess it was the year before I got here.
But I'm sure you played in some cold games.
Oh,
it's got to
be
tough to grip the football.
Yeah, it's not easy. And especially when it's a dry, you know, when it's super cold like that and it's really dry, it's really hard. I mean, nowadays that doesn't make too much of a difference just because of the gloves and things that guys wear. You know, even the quarterbacks can wear them.
Right. Makes it a little better.
You still have a lot of tack on the ball.
Yeah. So for Thanksgiving, you're going to watch all three games?
I'm sure I'll watch parts of all three. Yeah.
I think I'm going to watch all of them with my dad. We're just going to watch football
all day. That sounds like fun.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, have a happy Thanksgiving, Steve. Thanks
Thank
so much
you too,
again.
Joe.
And we'll talk next week.
Sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the 49ers game in Miami against the Dolphins. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.